My screen is too big. How do I make the screen small?
Hold on. Wait.
All right. So I will call the meeting of the Cooperstown Central School Board of Education meeting to order. We're just making sure that our technology is working in here. As you can see, we are at the Cooperstown Junior Senior High School cafeteria. It is, we will be sharing our technology around, so you'll see the other people who are involved in the meeting as well, whoever is speaking. Let me just get the participant list up here and make sure that we have the attendees and such. So we'll call the meeting to order and start with public comments. Again, procedures to speak with the board. We do not have any general members of the public here in the audience tonight. So I will call on anyone who is attending via our Zoom webinar to virtually raise their hand. Same kind of standard rules apply. We wish people to limit their comments to about 3 minutes and be succinct. If there are multiple comments and people who are saying essentially the same thing over and over again, we'll ask for a summary statement. With that said, does anyone from the public want to virtually raise their hand or otherwise share something in the chat and then make a statement? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to administrative matters and introduce our new superintendent, who is in now her third day here. And I'll turn my camera sideways so we can have a report from our superintendent of school, Ms. Sarah Frost. You can address the in general public. They're here to watch. You don't have to play to the camera.
Okay, that's so good to hear. That's not my role. Good evening, everyone. I'm incredibly honored to have been chosen as the superintendent of Cooperstown School District. I'm originally from Millbrook, New York, and I'm excited, extremely excited, to return to a community that has a strong commitment to education. With just over 30 years, I had to correct that, a little sad, but just over 30 years of experience in a variety of educational positions, ranging from a special education teacher to a principal, assistant principal, education director of the branch chief. I most recently served as the assistant state superintendent of the Maryland State Department of Education in charge of educator certification and program approval. In that capacity, I had the honor of working with all 24 local school system superintendents from both rural and urban communities. Our 23 institutions of higher education that prepare teachers for our classrooms today, and non-public school communities, legislators, state board members, and our diverse and varied constituent community. I look forward to working with the school faculty and community members here in Cooperstown to build on the already strong foundation at Cooperstown School District. It's my goal to provide all students the opportunity to gain the necessary skills to prepare them to be college or career ready and contributing members to our society. I want to ensure that we focus on what matters the most here, and that is our students. And the way in which we can do that is by creating classrooms that are vibrant centers of learning with caring educators who engage students in rigorous experiences. Our schools must be places where our students are free from fear, free to learn, and free to be who they are. We can only do this by ensuring our students have teachers and leaders who have high expectations, care about them, and push them to succeed. Opportunity belongs to everyone here at Cooperstown. I believe that our schools remain the centers of our community and that the work and the task of public education in the 21st century is getting more complex and not less. And we cannot do this work alone. We will work hand in hand with our families and community members to ensure that every student at Cooperstown Central School succeeds. Together, we'll make Cooperstown Central School District a model of educational excellence. Although change in leadership can be an exciting time for school districts and its stakeholders, It's also important to embrace the reality that there might be confusion at times. It will take time for our students, our staff, and our community to make the transition, to get to know me, to build trust, and to understand my leadership style and personality. I look forward to establishing relationships with both our internal and external stakeholders, and I will be reaching out over the next couple of weeks and months to our various constituent groups to listen and to learn, as well as to begin capturing critical feedback, perceptions, and information pertaining to the Cooperstown Central School District to develop a picture of both our past and present reality. I'm excited to be a part of this team. And as I said, I'm incredibly honored to join all of you here at Cooperstown. My first 3 days have been absolutely wonderful. I have had the opportunity to be in the high school and down in the elementary program. Unfortunately, I picked the coldest morning to assist with drop-off. I made it for about 20 minutes and then Tracy sent me back in. But I really have enjoyed the first 3 days that I've had here. I haven't had a meal. I go home tired and I sleep well. So I really do feel welcomed by everyone in both schools from our community. I even got a lot of waves out there. And the children are just, I have to end with the children. I think I have said this to a number of people. Whether it is a kindergarten class that I have been in or watching the students in this building for seventh and eighth graders, I have continued to be impressed with how poised, professional, and welcoming the students are here. I just can't get over it. To the classroom that was the classroom of compliments, to the little girl that lost her blue sheet coming in and couldn't believe we caught it. It's just such a welcoming group of individuals. And as I shared during the interview process, the student panel was truly outstanding. And I continue to see that here. I do have a couple business announcements for everyone that are exciting. I think they're hot off the presses. They literally came in it last night. I want to share some information about the Regents exam that we have. And while it is exciting news, it is cautiously exciting news because we don't have all of the final answers yet. But as of yesterday, we heard from the New York State Department of Education that they announced the following regarding Regents exams in June and August. I need to keep careful track of my notes. just so everyone knows, the New York State Department of Education has asked for an assessment waiver from the US Department of Education. And they've done that because they don't feel that assessments can be given safely, equitably, or fairly to all students across the state of New York. They also believe that at this critical time that the instructional time should be focused on the students and the academic focuses and their social emotional needs. Unfortunately, we have not heard here in New York whether or not the waiver will be granted from the US Department of Education. What that means is twofold. The New York State Department of Education plans to go to their March Board of Regents meeting to ask that Regents exams not be required to meet graduation requirements and to cancel any Regents exam that is not required by the US Department of Education. As you all are probably aware, the federal Every Student Succeeds Act, ESSA, requires students to be assessed in high school in English language arts, math, and science. To comply with federal regulations, if the US Department of Education does not approve the assessment waiver, we will have to administer 4 Regents in June, and those include Algebra 1, English Language Arts, Living Environment, and Physical Setting and Earth Science. The March Regents meeting, the New York State Department of Education will propose canceling all of the following Regents in June: Algebra 2, Geometry, Physical Setting, Chemistry, Physical Setting, Physics, Global History and Geography, and the United States History and Government Assessment. So what are the next steps for New York State Department of Education? They will propose canceling all Regents exams in August at their meeting, and they will provide additional information to districts as it becomes available following their March meeting, and what that will impact for diploma requirements. The grades 3 through 8 assessments These tests are also used for ESSA accountability. So until we hear, we need to move forward. And Anne, is there something you wanted to add?
I do know, I believe that they will not be used for accountability.
Correct, I haven't gotten to that part. So you're absolutely right. But we haven't heard that we can't give, that we don't have to administer them. They will only be offered to in-person students, and remote students will not be compelled to take the test. So that's an interesting piece. For all the state tests, whether that's Regents or the grade 3-8 test, they are ready to go in New York State, and we should plan for administration until we hear further information. Unfortunately, they are predicting that the U.S. Department of Education waiver could be issued after the administration of the grade 3-8 assessment. New York State Department of Education has waived all the accountability for these years' ESSA's measures, including participation rates and for the teacher accountability pieces. So that has been waived. Some miscellaneous issues. Do you have any questions about the regions in the 3-8? It's frustrating for everybody because the information is coming out slow and it is taking time for that information to be shared, and it does change on a regular basis. So we will continue to keep you posted. We hope to have information maybe for the March 17th meeting. I have 3 or 4 actually miscellaneous issues that I also wanted to share that we all in the districts are waiting on guidance for. Just to clarify, people may have heard in the community, there are various groups advocating for a reduction of the 6-foot rule. That's not just here in Cooperstown, that's across the state. To be able to minimize the spacing of students to possibly 3 feet. The New York State Department of Education is seeking clarity on that matter, but the Department of Health and CDC guidelines apply until we hear otherwise. There is a lot of discussion happening on that. Proms and graduations, I wish I had better news. We're still waiting on advice and guidance on as to how and if these events can happen. So stay tuned for proms and graduations. Any questions on those areas? Upcoming interviews, I think this is really important. As you
actually just interrupt which ones. Even if there are no definitive answers right now, are we still creating plans for a variety of contingencies? You know, if they're allowed, if they're not allowed, what do we have an idea of what that could look like? If the word comes in last minute.
I am going to defer to Anne on that to ask her what our high school is doing since I'm meeting with her tomorrow.
And Anne, if you want to just wait until your report, we could just put that at the end.
But I'm sure what Anne shares, we can absolutely have contingency plans. There have been discussions among the region superintendents. Well, can we have someone renew their vows so we can call it a wedding? So that we can have a wedding, because we know weddings are now permitted, but as they indicated that you still can't dance with anybody at a wedding unless you're in the same household. And you know, someone did share, but do students even dance at proms today? Because in our day, it didn't happen. There's a lot of confusion over this with different events and restrictions that are being lifted and what it means. But when it comes to schools, there are special requirements and guidelines, so we're waiting to hear from that. But I'm sure we can have contingency plans. Any other questions about proms and graduation? So we have 3 upcoming interviews that Anne is taking the lead on, and they include on March 12th the school counselor interviews, and they are from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. March 19th, the math teacher in grade 7 to 12. And those are from also 8 a.m. to 2:30. And March 26th, we have interviews for the art teacher from 8 a.m. to 12 noon. As you may recall, the personnel committee has discussed having a board member sit on those interview panels. So I will be happy to send out those dates and times again, looking for individuals that may be able to serve on those. Any questions? Thank you.
Good. We will then, and I apologize for the spinning of the cameras. We don't exactly have a good camera set up here yet. So we're going to move on to our building principals reports. And so they're seated very far away. If you want to, stand and deliver, or at least just talk loudly. Okay. We'll have a technology solution here.
Okay, so Sarah did ask us to give an update on our return to school. We did talk with the curriculum committee, I guess that was last week, it was about 2 or 3 days into our bringing all the 7th and 8th graders back in this building. And so I had a few things to contribute then, but now that we're almost 2 weeks into this, I am just thrilled with how well it has gone. I was very worried about morning arrival, for example, and the capacity to fit 110 students while they wait for the first bell. But that is going beautifully. We've had staff who have offered to work at 7:30 to ensure that there are enough classrooms ready for students, and they're able to eat their breakfast in the wrestling room as they wait. We do have 3 very large classes. We have an English 8 class, a Spanish 1 class, and a Math 7 class, which are over 20 students. Actually, Spanish has 24 now because we have had more students return from remote. And so those 3 classes have had to move to the wrestling room, which is working fine. It's not the most ideal space, but it's better than having to stay at home. So we have 28 desks in the wrestling room, and we have the technology set up in there, and it is working for those 3 classes. But otherwise, all classes have been able to stay in their designated classrooms. Choir was another concern of mine with large numbers, but that is going very well in the auditorium. Obviously, students are able to space out in there, and that's gone well. My other concern was lunch. So we do have 3 spaces for lunch. We have about 62 students in here, about 30 students in the art room, and 20 students in an empty classroom down the hall. And so that is also going well. Students have been very good about needing to eat in another space, and really haven't had many complaints as far as that goes. We did have to move a few study halls from certain classrooms into the auditorium just because we had more students. And so a few things that we're still kind of working on and I'm monitoring is the use of lockers, especially at the end of the day. Most of our students are in choir or PE, and all of their lockers are at that end of the building. And so they all kind of move there at the end of the day, and if they do congregate. So just we're going to work with some different opportunities for them to visit their lockers. I think we'll figure that out. Dismissal seems to be going okay, but again, that is the one time where there are a lot of students exiting the building at once, even with staggering the dismissals. So overall, we've had 110 seventh and eighth graders enter our building every day for 4 days in a row. And I'm just, couldn't be happier with that. As far as any kind of further support, I just wanted to let you know that we are continuing our Friday work day in this building. Last week, we had 26 students attend, 7 through 12, to receive additional academic support. Those are students who are recommended by their teacher, and they identify students who might need a little extra help. They're broken into small groups of students, working with teacher aides, and then of course our teachers are available all day Friday to help those students as well. It's going really well. Our failure list has dwindled, and I really think one of the reasons is because of that support. I also instituted this week an after-school study time on Mondays and Thursdays, and so from 2:30 to 4 o'clock, students are able to work in the library quietly, just another opportunity for them to work on their homework in a quiet space. We've had
about 5 students sign up for the first week. I think that's pretty good. And we also have a Zoom link for the remote students to join if they have questions or need help with organization, et cetera. So moving forward, I haven't had a chance to talk with Sarah about this. I will bring this up tomorrow in our meeting, but I am proposing to try to bring our 9-12 students back after April vacation. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I feel strongly that they need to be here 4 days a week. I haven't even had a chance to talk to staff about that, really. So next week, we have a few meetings, department chair and faculty meetings coming up. So we'll have further discussion about that. I think looking at lunch numbers and some classroom numbers, I do think it is something we can accomplish, even if we do have to maintain that 6 feet rule. So stay tuned for that. I will start, like I said, to talk with teachers and staff about their thoughts. But you know, as I watch athletic events occurring, it really is it doesn't make sense to me to not have children here 4 days a week, but we can have basketball going on. So I really think we need to focus on trying to get everyone back 4 days a week. I do think strongly too that we do need to maintain the Friday remote day as long as we offer the 100% remote choice because of the additional work that does create for teachers. But as if we, you know, once we can take away the 100% remote, then I think the 5 day a week is obviously going to make sense. We've been here since January 19th in the hybrid mode. We've had 0 major interruptions in our instruction and our academics. I think, you know, the vaccine is obviously helping. People are staying home when they're sick. We're very much better at quarantining and knowing the process. And so we really haven't had to interrupt instruction. So I just think that we're moving in the right direction. And then you asked about graduation and the prom. At the last meeting, I did announce that the graduation is scheduled right now for June 27th at the Fenimore Art Museum. Because it is outside, I think there's hope that that could happen for us. As far as prom, we do have a date scheduled at the Otisaga for June 21st. That is a Monday, which is a bit inconvenient, probably for some families. But we had to kind of take what we could get at the Otisaga, and I thought Monday was better than no date. So that is our tentative plan. The Otisaga was pretty confident that they could sponsor that in June for us. And we moved it to June instead of May just because they thought one more month would give us, you know, a few more answers and hopefully less restrictions. I do know that a school near us is planning on going ahead with prom as well. And they are purchasing rapid tests, and they're going to be testing their students prior to them entering the prom. So I think there are ways that we could, you know, get around this or make it work. We're not paying for a senior trip. So, you know, I think maybe funding has to be looked at a little differently to make those events that we can have happen, to make those happen. And I know for weddings too, they have to be tested as well, all the guests. So, you know, we'll see where it goes, but we have everything on the calendar. We have a senior breakfast scheduled. So that's hopeful. And the only thing that we knew we couldn't go forward with was the senior trip at this point. So I think that's my report for tonight. Anyone has any questions? Yes.
In terms of the Does everyone go out this door?
No. Okay. No, we decided not to designate dismissal doors, and it has worked out fine. So many students, you know, leave the door here, down here, out to the parking lot, especially those being picked up or driving home. Obviously, the students going out to the bus go out this door. Some leave the gym doors. So it's really just kind of naturally worked itself out. Yeah. Yeah, I think. Oh, so the question is, is there a plan for regions and state tests? So we haven't talked a lot about state tests, but I could envision regions exams occurring perhaps in the gymnasium. If you have, you know, most classes are 15 to 20 students. So we could even open up, we have double classrooms in both sides of the building. So we could also open those up, which is what we normally do. So I'm not concerned about space and regions. I'm also working on AP exams right now and getting those organized, looking possibly at giving those at the Meadows because they have space there. So I'm not worried about administering any of the state tests and providing space in this building.
I just have one other question. How did it go on Saturday with the gyms used for vaccination?
Beautifully. Lucas reported he was here, Lucas Sensor, all day just in case, and there was not a hiccup.
Great.
And I do believe every dose was administered that they had. So.
And I can also share that because I came and got one of the doses and I was blown away by how seamless it was. You literally walked in, they took your name, you went to the door, they told you which table to go sit at. And that is not what I have been used to hearing in Maryland in the previous state. So I was just, and the work, the staff that were there doing it was just incredibly friendly, informative, knowledgeable, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, that's me. All right. Good evening. I am overzealous when I say we are so excited to have all 320 plus of our students back. It has been a wonderful, wonderful venture. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, we brought back kindergarten, first and fourth grade due to the fact that their population was smaller. We were easily able to accommodate them in the spaces provided in our current classrooms due to square footage. And it also provided us a wonderful opportunity for us to have a platform to work with before we brought everybody back. Knowing that the other cohorts were much larger, it provided us insight into different things that we were thinking of every single day. For instance, the cafeteria and our staying place when kids get dropped off early and the essentials. And so it really helped mold a plan that we came up with as a team. To bring everybody back. So since everybody's been back, I can't tell you how wonderful it is to hear the children chirping in the hallways, to see their smiling faces, to go into the classrooms every morning and they stop what they're doing and they're so excited just to share their excitement. There's very few kids that actually just sit there and just kind of look at you. Like, I am so impressed. I'm going to echo what Sarah had said. I'm so impressed, not only at the manners, but at the excitement about being here, about how the children are really showing that they can rise to the occasion. And I think that's a real testament to the kids, the parents, the community for helping us bring everybody back. So having said that, I just wanted to delineate a few of the details that we had to go through to bring everybody back. So if I didn't have the mask on, you would see a stupid grin just ear to ear because I haven't been able to get rid of it. It's so exciting to wake up and say, oh my gosh, here we go. Now, to be honest, I didn't go to leadership school and learn how to be a crossing guard, but I'm rapidly finding out. And when the police chief came to me today for us to have our quick chat, I was thinking, oh my gosh, he's gonna give me tips. I know he's gonna give me tips, but he didn't. But maybe he should have, I don't know. But our drop-off procedure has certainly been our biggest challenge. We know that we've got many families that drop off. As a matter of fact, when I spoke to Mr. Kuchenberger this morning, he indicated that the amount of students that are being dropped off is 60% plus more than it normally is. We know that COVID has certainly helped that, but there's not as many kids riding the bus right now. And so that creates quite a dilemma. And I do want everybody to understand that one of the reasons we redesigned the drop-off was to alleviate conditions that had occurred that were, continuing to be unsafe. And luckily, I've got this woman to be able to help tell me how things have been going, because it really helped shape what we were going to do ahead of time. And I am not going to purport that it's a perfect fit right now. It is a work in progress. Every day we have some new challenge. We address that challenge and try something else slightly skewed the next day. But at this point in time, what we do is we, as you know, we are dropping off at the roadside on the sidewalk side. We have closed off westbound traffic to accommodate for the buses to leave our bus circle. I have four people, one of them being myself, out at Integral Points on Walnut Street. Each one of us has a vest and a walkie-talkie, and I'm going to have to talk to the companies about making those vests look a little bit better. But I don't know if it's my 5-foot frame or what it is, but it's very hard to direct people. So we're working on communication with everybody to hope that it can become more seamless. I did send out another piece of communication yesterday asking for certain things from parents. So to make sure that everybody is ready to go with their backpacks, their blue sheets, their masks, you know, say your goodbyes and pull up, let the kids get out and keep going. That has gotten better. We are also discouraging any parents from walking their students in. That primarily is, obviously it's helping the traffic flow, but it's also COVID related. We don't want extraneous people outside the school. We don't have to have them right now. I really want to be transparent with everybody to say how much we have to be acutely aware of distancing ourselves. It's already a challenge at the elementary school with these kids that just want to, you know, be together. And so we don't need anybody else to try to make that just a little bit harder for everybody. So it's been getting better. The last couple mornings were a little bit tough. We did have some backup, but we're working on, there's a plan A and a plan B in place, more to come. Hopefully by Monday, we'll have ironed out an even easier drop off. But that really has been a challenge, you know, so we've been staggering it. We've opened our doors at 7:30. And once the students come in, we have separated the entrances. We've separated where students go in the morning because we do have a mass that's before, you know, school really starts. We have some students going to the cafeteria, some students going to the gymnasium, and we've opened up an extra classroom in the intermediate wing for some overflow from the cafeteria. In talking about the cafeteria, which is next on my list, the usage was really a challenge. There have been numerous maps and plans to figure out how to accommodate all of our overlapping classrooms. We looked at redesigning the schedule, which is a beast, knowing that Ms. Rathman has to do her business up here and down there, you know, at the same time. We had to really kind of stick to that master schedule, which showed that we ended up having some overlaps, and there were not enough desks to accommodate everybody in the cafeteria at once. So we worked out another plan to have half in the cafeteria and half in the classroom. Beauty of having everybody start 2 weeks or having three grades start 2 weeks prior is that we were able to really iron out some things. Logistically, bringing kindergarten, first grade, fourth grade into that cafeteria presented problems of its own. So that's where we have an all hands on deck approach. We can't logistically have some kids in the classroom, have people bring them to the cafeteria, some people monitoring in the cafeteria, and they're five-year-olds. There's not enough eyes on task. So obviously safety is our biggest issue. So at grade chair meeting, we brought it up and we went through grade at a time and they decided who wanted to tackle the cafeteria and who didn't. It was wonderful. So currently kindergarten, first, second, and fourth grade have decided they don't want to eat in the cafeteria. They want to eat in their classrooms. They think they can accommodate it in their classrooms. Technically, they can. That leaves third, fifth, and sixth grade. So what we chose to do, because of the amount of desks that we do have in our cafeteria and very little other space, like Anne was talking about, that she could spread her kids out, we really can't. So third grade, it's the entire grade gets to eat in cafeteria every Monday. Fifth grade gets to eat in the cafeteria every Tuesday. And because sixth grade needs something special in their last year there, they get it on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So far, so good. The cafeteria before and after our lunchtime is also being used for our music room. As you know, with singing, we have to accommodate for 12 feet of distance. So that presented a challenge in the current music room that we had to make accommodations for. It's been going very, very well. We also have, we ran into a snafu when that weather dipped really badly this week.
and recess was unattainable outside. So we had to do some pretty quick thinking because that was something I had not anticipated. Currently, we are able to, with a shift of some recess minutes, be able to accommodate everybody in the cafeteria during recess if, in fact, it has to be indoors. That leads me into regular recess. If we do regular recess outside, it has been scaffolded very appropriately as to where certain grade levels are to play outside so that we can continue masked play safely and as distance as possible with elementary students playing outside. Okay, so hall distancing is definitely a challenge. We have invited teachers to, instead of one very long 6-foot spaced line meandering through our hallways, we've asked them to divide it into two, both sides of the hallway to get where they need to go. My observations have been that truly is challenging as we wane toward the back of the line. So it's something we're gonna have to keep working on. Our essentials are another biggie. We had essentials going to classrooms prior to us bringing everybody back. Because we have bigger class spaces, one more person was not feasible in some of the rooms. And so we made the accommodations to have essentials back in their rooms and have the teachers take the students to their essentials. But in doing that, we also had a space issue. Again, the art room is too small to accommodate the amount of students that we needed. So currently our art room is in our band room. That's going pretty well. Our music classes are either in the music room or when they're in the singing mode, they're in our cafeteria. PE classes, if you've ever had the pleasure of coming through this area, you will see they are on the slopes out here. They are doing snowshoeing and sledding and all kinds of cardiovascular games. And it is a pure joy. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you I sat and watched for 10 minutes in this parking lot this morning before I came to a meeting because it was just so joyous to see kids outside playing. One of the biggest challenges for us has been the fact that fifth grade is huge. And we currently had 71 students in three classrooms and the classrooms can only fit 20 desks. So we needed to make a couple allowances. And so what we chose to do was create a fourth section of fifth grade. It is currently staffed with an LTA, Ms. Patricus, and the teachers were asked to find 5 kids from each classroom that could go into this fourth section. Now they aren't losing their teacher of record. They're asked to still stop into their homerooms, say a quick hello, take attendance, and then they go to that fourth classroom if they have been chosen to do that for their core academics. Now this is serving a couple different purposes. First of all, ELA also encompassed social studies and writing in the old model. For this particular one, Ms. Patricus is teaching social studies. So now we actually have an added bonus for academia and a longer time for us to truly get the nitty gritty for ELA, which is fabulous. In addition to that, the students that were chosen to go into that extra classroom, there was a set of criteria that I asked the teachers to do. One of them was make sure there's friends to go with them. So that was certainly adhered to. And I reached out and communicated with every family member personally to make sure that everybody understood what that would entail. We are staggering our dismissal times, but like Ann already mentioned, it is a challenge. I'm out there in the afternoons too, and when everybody's coming out, even though we have a 2-minute stagger time, it definitely is a challenge because the snowbanks make it harder for our students to find their parents. Parents have been really great about coming. They may come into the parking lot also to get their student, but we've had to put extra monitors out there to make sure that we have enough adult eyes on them. And we're working on making sure that we can continue the social distancing even during the end of the day. Is there any question about any reopening, Matt?
How are you doing with fire trucks?
Oh, well, they're coming.
Right. Well, if we're going outside with so many kids, yeah. How are we?
We've done the 8 already.
Okay.
You're required to do 8 by December 31st. So those are done.
Yeah.
And the state's been going back and forth with, we were supposed to do 1 a month, but now they took that away for this year for COVID.
But
we have three lockdowns left.
We do.
One's coming up.
And we've already spoken about how to address that the social distancing concern with Mr. Reese from BOCES, because we wanted to make sure that everybody was comfortable, because in the event of a lockdown, there's specific places for students to you know, squat down next to walls and be safe, but they'd be together. So they've loosened up some of those demands on us for our lockdowns. So we do have all of those already ready to go, and one is very soon. So any other questions about bringing the students back? Yes.
I'm the drop-off in the morning, and the westbound is closed. There's a lot of through traffic that also comes through there that's not part of drop-off. Any consideration to reducing it at least for the drop-off?
Yep. Yep, there is, Wendy. I've been speaking with the police chief, and the first plan B or plan A was to just close westbound traffic, which did help tremendously. We spoke even again this morning about all the extraneous traffic. People don't need to go down Walnut. I have cement mixers and, you know, big plow trucks going down Walnut during those times. And it muddies waters. So it has been discussed. We have not taken any action on that yet, but I'm in total agreement that if people don't need to go down Walnut during 7:30 to 8 o'clock time, I would appreciate it if they didn't. It would certainly make it more seamless. Yeah, so it's been discussed. We just haven't taken any action on it yet. Thank you. Tremendous. Right, I agree. Mm-hmm. Yep, and like anything else, I think it needs to become habitual. No, we're being consistent. We're not going to change this kind of a plan drastically right now. We mean what we say, and it's for ultimately the safety of our students. And so, you know, luckily the village police have been wonderful about working with us, from the crossing guard to the person closing off westbound traffic to the police chief coming right down if we have an issue. So it's something we'll continue to work on. But it's a good thought. Yeah. Somebody knows somebody came back, don't they? Can't help it, no. Anything else for that?
I just had one long-term question.
Sure.
And, you know, Anne talked about how the students are the academic picture has improved, especially at the high school level. I'm just continue to be concerned that A, we're going to get through the curriculum that we need to at in both buildings. And then for the students who are not ready to make that next step, do we have plans in place to either retention or special help or something, because there's going to be some level of disparity, because in a typical year, there are some people who are just not prepared to go on or have not met the certain minimum requirements.
Agreed. I appreciate that comment and question. There are continued conversations at Principals Academy about this. And as a matter of fact, this past Tuesday, there was one on retention specifically that I'm going to be discussing with grade chairs next week. Retention is highly not recommended. There are other ways that we can help these students get caught up. Reality is curriculum is very, very important. We will have gaps in our learning until we can catch up. I have a couple ideas I've been mulling around, but I want to discuss them with Sarah and our grade chairs before I bring them out publicly. But it is something that we have to consider. We know we're going to have kids with gaps. It is our job to fill those gaps, but we have to work on social emotional ease and transition as well, especially at the younger levels. And there are some ideas that are out there that can help us get caught up. Retention really needs to be saved for a pretty severe case, in my opinion. And from everybody that I have already spoken to at the principal level, It's something that it may not be the best case scenario for COVID.
Yeah, I just want to know that this is on people's minds, because although it is March, we will quickly be into that discussion.
Yep, agreed.
I'm really happy to see the students coming back. You're happy to see that the students and their families are paying attention, that no matter what's happening nationally, people are still wearing their masks and not yet burning them, as I've seen some people who are wanting to do.
Yep.
We're still in a pandemic. Not everyone's safe or out of the waters yet. Sure. So we need to continue to be doing what we need to do. And is there anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, one of the things we talked about at Principals Academy for the secondary levels, most districts are implementing some type of a summer school, if you will. This summer, there's lots of varieties of that, and I would highly recommend that happen. Obviously, there would be a cost to that, but I think our 7-12 students would definitely benefit. I don't know exactly what that would look like or, you know, how it roll out, but all the districts I've spoken to are talking about some type of a summer school, if you will, for students who did not pass. And we're very worried about that. So that definitely needs something in place for them.
There was also a discussion today at the cabinet meeting with the superintendents in this region about that very fast and what are the priorities for funding for those plans and health resources and how to maximize what we have in some of our smaller districts. So more to come.
You even talked about joining forces.
Yes. There's been discussions about different districts offering certain things. And we all know how to use technology now, so it may be able to maximize lives.
Great, thank you.
And another piece of that is that, at least at the elementary level, another conversation that's about ready to occur next week is the usage of some parent-teacher conferences. You know, we'll probably have to have them virtually, but now's the time to start them. And now's the time to start assessing where our students are at. We have NWEA benchmarking that's going to be occurring the week of March 15th. And that's going to kind of give us some kind of a nice plateau for us to be able to see where our students are at, compare that data with what has happened prior to that, and come up with a workable plan. So it is definitely being discussed.
Excellent. Thank you. And if there's not anything else.
The only thing I want to say, I just want to say one more thing, and that's that it takes a village. Definitely, we know the adage. In order to bring these students back, it has taken so much effort from so many people. And I really want to make sure that we identify all of the help of the teachers and the aides and the monitors that have been doing it too. I could not have put a plan in place without them. I can't do daily operations without them. We have people stepping forward to ask if you need help. Teachers are in their doorways greeting the students, and they're being the role models for our students to continue to be safe. And the aides have been there to help in any capacity we need. And I personally really appreciate that.
Great, thank you. Moving on the agenda, we have starting with our minutes, and then for anyone who's watching along, we have a very light agenda, which is a good thing, and we'll try to move this through this relatively quickly. So I'll make a motion, be it resolved, the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the interim superintendent of schools, does hereby approve the regular meeting minutes of February 10th as presented. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Tony Scalise. Any questions, additions, corrections? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. I like how we're still doing the thumbs up, even though we're all here. And for those of you playing along at home, I'll make sure that you're aware when what the vote tallies will be over time. So you can see at least a portion of us. So that motion carries unanimously. On to budget and finance. Looks like your next meeting will be March 9th. There's, as I'm aware, that there's no committee report on this because the meeting is coming up relatively quickly, and that meeting will be at 8:15 a.m. Okay?
Just to remind that this meeting, we're expecting to look at this, the program and as a component of the budget, so that will be all the teaching and classes, and that's what we'll be doing. And I suspect we're going to be talking about the addition of summer school as an expense that had not yet been anticipated, which would go into next year's budget. And luckily, there's still time to do that before the budget vote.
Right. And I'll add that one of the things that Ramona Wenk was able to start us with, and with a lot of Amy's help and the software, and it's been a wish list of ours for a very long time, is having budget books that are really detailed and easy to understand, which is not always an easy thing to do. So we've seen previews of that, and we will get further information as an entire board outside of that committee as we go forward. So thank you, Tony. On to buildings, grounds, and safety. Looks like March 4th, which is tomorrow, is your meeting. So is there anything to give as a preview or update?
I think we're going to review the EPC contract, hopefully, tomorrow. And get that signed and get started. I think that's the main focus. And then just other capital projects.
And that, as I understand, the EPC contract has been under review by our attorneys.
Correct.
Okay. And when that's ready, I'll be authorized to sign that, or the superintendent, whoever, I forget who gets the privilege of having to sign that. On to curriculum and instruction. So we'll bring in.
Trying to do my video here. Yep. All right. So we met on February 24th. And we had both Mrs. Wink and Ms. Sproth there, as well as Mrs. Macariello and Ms. Durkee. In new business, Mrs. Wink reviewed the proposed school calendar for 2021-22, which includes Juneteenth as a holiday and allows for 5 emergency days. The committee discussed the proposed school board general meeting dates for 2021-22, which will feature 1 meeting a month with the exceptions of August and March. August will have 2 meetings, and March will include at least 2 budget workshops in addition to the monthly board meeting. Mrs. Wink shared ideas for potential changes to the CCS administrative structure. The committee reviewed these options and agreed on the need for a full board discussion in the future. We also discussed the completion of the APPR teacher evaluations. Ms. Frost is registered for the New York State APPR training and is working to complete it. Mrs. Wink offered to return and complete the evaluations if Ms. Frost cannot be trained before the deadline. In old business, we had Mrs. Macariello and Ms. Durkee there to report on the progress of the K-8 students returning to school. And we've heard all about that tonight, so I won't repeat what you said. But I just want to say also that we'd like to congratulate you both on the successful return to school of these kids. And we greatly appreciate all the hard work that you have done and the staff has done to make it a reality. So thank you both very much for that. And then in general communication, Mrs. Wink reviewed the budget book that Tim was just talking about with the committee. It's a work in progress, but each board member will be provided with a copy when that is complete. She updated the committee on the capital project and the EPC, which are still under review. She also touched on staffing for 2021 and 22 and highlighted the need to hire new high school art and math teachers and a new elementary school counselor. Mrs. Wink also shared the pandemic plan with the committee as a document that is mandated by the state. BOCES provided us with a template, and CCS filled out the information as it pertains to our school, and that will be going out. And in future business items, we will be talking about technology needs, the Reading League, and the College Now program. So in our next meeting will be in the third week of April, but we haven't nailed down the date quite yet. So we'll have it on the calendar soon.
Okay, any questions for the chair?
There's no meeting in March.
Oh, there should be, let's see. Thank you. I was thinking it was already March, so I was thinking we already had the meeting. I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah, thank you. It's March. It's done, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Not yet.
There are no action items for that part of the agenda, so we're going to move on to personnel and recruitment.
Yes, I am. Can you hear me now? All righty. We met February 26th under old business, extracurricular activities, including athletics. Mrs. Wink updated the committee regarding successes of the opening of winter athletics. She underscored the ongoing need for the continuous reminders for mask use. She reported that spectators are not allowed in any form at this time, and that participating schools have policies in place that would prevent them from participating in competitions if any spectators are allowed by the host school. So it's not just our decision. New business, potential administrative structure overview. We discussed that. Mrs. Wenk provided the committee with a flow chart of potential ideas. Under B, potential future hiring needs, we reviewed the positions we spoke of this evening. C, resignation, the committee reviewed resignations and discussed options going forward. D, leave of absence requests, we tabled this for the next meeting. E, extracurricular athletic appointments, Mrs. Wenk will note which of these appointments are volunteer appointments. F, coaching appointments, the committee reviewed winter and fall two coaching assignments. G, proposed school calendar. As Gillian said, we went over that. H, again, the board meeting dates. We won't go into that again. Substitute application. We reviewed a substitute application and nomination for the ONC BOCES Board of Education. We reviewed a potential nominee for that. And as Gillian mentioned, we went over those other general communications. Our next meeting will be March 11th. At 7:30, and we'll talk about overview of administrative structure, updates on recruiting needs and positions, and streamlining leave of absence requests as we go forward. So, and we do have some action items this evening.
Before we get to this, any questions from the meeting?
Okay, define them first. Okay, the first one, resignations. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, hereby accepts the resignation of Steve Fountain, school monitor and claims auditor, effective April 16th, 2021.
Do we have a second? Second from Gillian. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion passes unanimously.
All right, and on to this one. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, hereby accepts the resignation of Ann Macariello, junior senior high school principal, effective March 31st, 2021.
Do we have a second? It looks like Matt Sherman reluctantly.
And I would just like to say that it is with bittersweet emotion that we accept this letter of resignation from Mrs. Macariello. We are saddened, but also very excited for her as she moves to pursue her professional development. We truly appreciate all her years of service here in Cooperstown, particularly her timeless work alongside Mrs. Wenk and Ms. Durkee over the past 7 months as high school principal during a pandemic. We wish her the very best with this new opportunity. Thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. That motion carries.
Moving on to extracurricular athletic appointment. Be it resolved, the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the interim coordinator of athletics and extracurricular to the Superintendent of Schools, hereby approves the extracurricular athletic appointments as presented. Be it further resolved, all stipends will be paid per the agreement between the Superintendent of Schools of the Cooperstown Central School Board of Education and the Cooperstown Central School Faculty Association.
Second.
Second from Tony Scalise.
These include the timer, scorekeeper, shot clock operator, and videographer.
Okay.
I have a question. At what point does the interim position become no longer interim? Is that something that's in place, or sort of a wait and see?
I think it's my understanding that the superintendent will be evaluating that as the year rolls on.
Okay.
Yep. As it pertains to the motion, we that's just the title of someone officially who's making the recommendation.
Right.
And as Marcy said during her committee report, The overall administrative structure will be a subject. It's not something that Mrs. Wank really wanted to have in place as an interim. Wanted to wait until we had a permanent superintendent here to begin that conversation. Will also happen to coincide with budget season, so all the things all at once. Any other questions or comments on this particular resolution? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously, as was the previous motion. Sorry.
Very good. Moving on to other athletic issues, be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the interim coordinator of athletics and extracurricular to the superintendent of schools, hereby approves the following volunteers for game day events for the winter and fall two sports seasons. And that includes announcers, scorebook keepers, and assistants with volleyball and photographer.
Second from Wendy Cuber. Did I hear that? I'm trying to get. Okay. Any questions or discussion on this? And you can see the names of those people who they're listed in our board packets and on board docs. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion carries unanimously.
Okay, and then we have another action item. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the interim coordinator of athletics and extracurricular to the interim superintendent of schools, hereby approves the appointment of the recommended 2021 fall two coaches as presented. Be it further resolved, all coaching stipends will be prorated based on the approval of the return of the interscholastic competition plan. And this includes girls volleyball. Do you want me to read these out loud?
For the attached?
Yes.
Yes, that would be helpful.
Girls varsity volleyball is Mr. Rich Jancy. Girls JV volleyball is Miss Elena Krug. Girls modified volleyball, Mr. John Rutherton. And girls volunteer volleyball assistant, Mrs. Donna Hybart.
Okay, any questions? We need a second. Second from Matt Sherman. Any questions or discussion? All right, just a clarification question. During the personnel, we had asked the superintendent to be in touch with a previous coach, and were you able to be in touch with?
Yes.
Oh, she did. Okay, perfect.
Good.
It's a transition. Mrs. Wink was in touch, so I just wanted to make sure that occurred. Thank you, Wendy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion is also unanimous.
Thank you. And the last action item for tonight, be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District hereby approves the addition of Mary Jane Sensevier to the non-certified substitute teacher list.
Second from Wendy Huber. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That motion is also unanimous. Thank you. And that's the final motion from personnel. Yeah. Thank you. Public relations policy and extracurricular is next meeting on March 8th at 8:15 a.m. Is there anything that you'd like to share with us today?
No, we are just going to be working on some policies that are
required. Okay. Great. Other board matters. As Marcy alluded to, we have a nomination to the BOCES Board of Education. So I'll make that motion. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District hereby nominates Cynthia Kuchenberger for the position of board member of the Otsego Northern Catskills BOCES Board of Education.
Second
from Marielle. Any questions or discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. Thank you, that motion carries. I'll make a motion on the CSC recommendations. Be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Cooperstown Central School District, upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, hereby approves the recommendation of the Committee on Special Education as listed in the Board Action Sheet for the meeting of February 24th, 2021. Second from Matt Sherman. Any questions or discussion? That motion carries unanimously. And under, we have a section for public comment. So thank you all for hanging with us. We have no additional people who came into our board meeting tonight from the general public, but if there's someone who is on the Zoom call who would like to raise their virtual hand and otherwise be called on, this is your opportunity. Seeing no virtual hands raised, I'll move on to board president's comments. Our next board meeting will be March 17th. We are beginning to be in the throes of budget season and the budget calendar. I would like to extend a very warm welcome to Sarah Spross for being here and making the leap northward in a very, very cold and icy time of year. She assures me that she actually is enjoying the snow, that it's very beautiful. Of course, she hasn't also had it since November. So like we have. We are very much looking forward to your leadership and working with your leadership teams in the various capacities. I think that's it from my board. Oh, one more thing is, in general, we do have an opportunity for people to give feedback according to our return to athletics plan and our COVID plan to give anonymous tips. We have a tip line. I did see that there was one letter that came in. It was CC'd to the superintendent and the entire board. It is unsigned, and it is in general my thought that if something is unsigned, that I don't necessarily give it a really hard look. I'll take a look to see if there's some kind of hint as to who it could be. So you're welcome to take a look. I have a copy here tonight, but this one in particular, I think it was just geared toward our athletic director, our interim athletic director, as a notification about some things that pertain to our return to athletics. But if there's something else that is given to me as a board president that is unsigned and I can't figure out who may have sent it, I'm not going to share it because I have no idea who did. So if anyone's watching tonight and is wants to send something in, all of us are welcome to are welcome and encouraged to speak with people one-on-one. You can do that in confidence, especially if it's done one-on-one. The only limit to that is that we are required by our contract and by state law to report all major issues to our superintendent, who is our ex officio board member. So that's kind of, we've had several letters this year written either individually or signed by a group of parents. I have no idea if that group is 2 people or 100 people. So just to let you know how I have been dealing with people who write in anonymously, I would rather you just step up and say something. So Matt?
Is our return athletics policy, is there an anonymous spot to put in someone's concerns?
Yes.
Is that just because somebody didn't want to put it in there? Or should they use that?
Yeah, I don't know because we have a confidential, I guess it's not anonymous, it's a confidential tip line that you can call in or you can email. And this happens to be a written letter. I know Amy is waving her hand in the background.
We do have an anonymous link on the website. It's a form that someone can just go onto the website and take in their complaint without any other information.
That's the concern. It's confusing because if there's that ability to do it online.
Right.
So we were required. So, but on this link, you're not required to put in an email or anything like that. It will just show up as, you know,
submitted by an anonymous link at some point here. So there is a link on the website that does not require email, but it's available under our athletics
right
for that purpose.
So, and again, it's the difference between that thing, which we are required to do by return, the Department of Health requirements for athletics in particular allows, and I'm glad to hear that we have a link that does not require someone to have an email. But if they don't have email or phone, even in today, you still can drop off a letter. Just don't address it to the entire board. That's we're trying to streamline those things. But I just wanted to mention in general that if someone has something to say, come see one of us, and I will personally be glad to field that. But the first question will always be out of my mouth will be, have you brought it to the attention of the person who's responsible for that? So if it's a question about a classroom, have you talked to the teacher first? If you have you gone next to the next level and, you know, the chain of command thing? But if you still feel that you want to skip all that and go right to a board member, we are elected. We are responsible to our constituents. I just would like to know who is sending, who is saying what, so we can have a conversation. Okay? The last thing I'd like to do is wish Anne very well.
Yeah, long, happy life and good health. And you're going to another storybook town, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So you've got a nice lake to look at, and what else can you want?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have a question.
Sure, Tony.
I got mixed up on a recent email about the scheduling of budget hearings. I know we're coming up on the 17th of March, and we had a conversation about it at the curriculum meeting, which was, in a sense, informal. And I don't know what is in place right now for budget, public presentations, and feedback from the public, and when they're going to be, and how they're going to be carried out.
Okay. Well, I think you have some committee meetings that are coming up tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I think we can iron that all out and provide for the best use of everyone's time, and the best way that we can solicit feedback during that. So I'm open to anything. I know that Ramona Wenk had a suggestion, and we have a new executive who can kind of work with us and make sure that
Sarah was in on the conversation, at least, yeah, the curriculum committee.
Right.
But my main question, or the main purpose of the question, was, is March 17th one of those deadline days? Maybe you don't know, but it's just
I don't know yet. We have a budget calendar.
I think we were discussing March 17th presentation, but it's not a deadline necessarily.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
My understanding in our discussions, we're talking about next year. If we want to keep the structure that we have for this year into next year, or we think it. Maybe I was wrong with that.
No, I don't know. I don't know if I was correct either. I just know it was.
Well, we will find out answers in the next couple of days.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Those are my comments, and I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
So moved is Marielle, and second is Matt Sherman. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. That passes unanimously. We are adjourned. Thank you all very much for attending. We will end this Zoom call.